In fact, that could be next week's audience participation. We can, you know, invite someone in, cut off their ear, and ask them how they feel about it.
That makes me glad I'm not in the next week.
That would be a listener, Rob. Not a...
Why is this happening? Will, how much crack did they give you?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 94 of the Pocket Gamer podcast. With me is Will Wilson.
Hello.
And Rob Hearn, fantastically.
Hello, Ben.
And of course, as Rob has pointed out, Ben Maxwell is me, your host. So Rob and I obviously haven't been on the same podcast for a while. We've been like ships passing in the night by quite some distance, really, which I suppose is evidence of good navigational skills.
Yes.
But now we're back together, so it's somewhat of a reunion in many ways, especially since we haven't really spoken since you moved, Rob.
Not really, no. We've had the odd text back and forth, have we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I sent you a picture of stone on my arm in order to disparage Scotland, which is one of my hobbies.
Yes, yeah, and it was a very good one. I'd sent a picture of an iPod Nano in order to disparage Apple, but that's not really a hobby. That was a one-off. We should probably point out that Tracy he hasn't been banned as we pretended last week. He is just errant. Where is he? Is he on a trip?
I think he's gone to see... Oh, I don't know. Is it Glue? Is it EA? He's gone to see a publisher anyway, so no doubt next week he'll have some exciting news for us. But this week he's absent. He's AWOL, as we would say if he was in the army.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Hi, Tracy. Nice. You're listening.
Hi, Tracy. Hi.
Hello, Tracy.
So, let's do some news. News! Now, obviously, the first thing we need to speak about and the biggest news this week is that Game Center has launched. And just like my moaning over the past few weeks has... predicted, it's not really that exciting. So it's obviously a social network for your games, and it's going to link everyone up. And it looks awful. I don't know what... I mean, Rob, what do you think?
I agree.
This stupid backgammon table look?
I agree 1,000%. I think Apple... I mean, because that's the one thing you associate with Apple is design... beyond, you know, what anybody else is capable of. They, you know, they design 5 years in the future. This looks like some weird Ukrainian mobile game from 7 years ago. I hope that they change the look of Game Center soon, because it just doesn't look good.
Will, how do you feel?
Well, I think it lives up to everything that I was thinking about it before it released, mainly because I haven't actually got it yet. So in my mind, it's still amazing. I don't want to get it now because everyone's saying it was rubbish. So I want to keep that memory.
Well, I don't
you really
think it's
care
rubbish.
A lot about this, don't you? You care about the appearance of the Game Center so much that you're unwilling to face the painful truth.
He's filling the space in his life that would have been occupied by a girlfriend with Game Center. So it's understandable.
Harsh. Yeah.
That was harsh. It's pick on Will night.
Shut up, Will. Okay.
So yeah, it looks appalling, but Will, I don't think you need to be too worried because although it suffered some bugs at the beginning, it's not rubbish.
The main reason why I haven't downloaded it yet actually was because I only found out yesterday evening that I could run it. It was a bit weird.
You're not used to being included, are you?
No, I mean, second gen. I thought that wasn't going to be...
Yeah, no, it wasn't. That, originally, it was only going to be third gen iPod Touch, which is the kind of equivalent of the 3GS, which is the oldest iPhone you can run it on. So you can't run it on a 3G, but you can run it on the iPod Touch equivalent, which is a second generation. That news kind of emerged yesterday and confused people a little bit. Apparently, the iPod Touch is slightly more powerful, and that explains it. But yes, yeah. So you didn't think you were going to be able to.
So,
now you can.
Yeah.
So you should. So you know, install it.
Which is great news for everybody.
I'll tell you a story about what happened to me. Yeah, if you're running Windows 7, then you can't update your iPod Touch or your iPhone. Because I've had this problem with my iPod Touch previously, and I complained about it, actually, bitterly, over a series of podcasts, that I kept bricking my iPod Touch, having to go down to the Apple Store to get it restored. I don't know if that was necessary. But same thing happened to me yesterday when I tried to install 4.1 on my iPhone 4. It kind of bricked it temporarily. I had to reset it. I lost everything. Fortunately, I had a backup and I was able to put all my contacts back on it. But for a little while, I thought, this is it. I've lost all my contacts. I've still lost all my music. That's gone off it. So anyway, this is a warning. If you've got Windows 7, I don't know whether I've got 64-bit or 32-bit, but if you've got Windows 7, approach updating your iPhone or iPod Touch with caution, because it can brick it and make you lose all your information from it. But nevertheless, I got it onto the phone this morning. So yeah, Game Center is kind of all right. I mean, have you? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've kind of used it. I've tried to make friends with people, and I have, as in life, I've found it difficult. I've made friends with Mundy, Bokeh Gamer's own John Mundy, and also John Jordan. So I can confirm that it's okay to make friends with people called John. But beyond that, I can't really confirm anything. And I can say that it's actually not possible to make friends with people called Tracy, although we suspect that's because he is in America rather than because he's called Tracy. John, both Johns and I have been unable to befriend Tracy on the Game Center service because of his nationality, I assume.
That's odd. Why would that be the case?
I think they'll get it ironed out. I guess it's probably just a bug. Either that or Tracy, it's kind of, you know, like when you're speaking to a girl and you say, what's your phone number? And she gives you a number and then walks off.
Yeah.
It's like 15 digit long.
Israel, isn't it?
Yeah, they're all zeros. So that doesn't work. That doesn't work. You can't be friends with Americans if you're British.
Well, that was in the past. That was the case. But obviously, international relations have improved since then. Although they won't improve, they'll go back to being awful if Apple don't fix that terrible, terrible Game Center look. But the other weird thing about this as well is that it's creating quite a splintered kind of network service, because you've got Game Center now, which is obviously going to gradually become more and more ubiquitous and take over the world like the red weed in an H.G. Wells novel. But you've still got OpenFaint and Plus and various other things, like, you know, developers' own services. And a lot of these developers' services, and of course OpenFaint as well, are adding functionality to kind of do cross iOS and Android gameplay, which is something the Game Center won't support. So far from unifying the landscape the moment, I think it's actually made it a little more confusing, especially as a lot of the games will continue to support both of the networks. They'll add in Game Center functionality but retain what they had in the past because, ironically, of the lack of functionality on the part of Apple's new service.
Yeah, that's right. Field Runners has that. When you play Field Runners, it gives you a choice at the beginning. It says, would you like to run, I think it's OpenFaint, or would you like to run Game Center? And you have this moment where you're choosing, like the child of divorced parents or something, and you're thinking, oh, who do I stay at? Whose house do I stay at? It's less emotionally weighty than that, but, you know, in some ways very similar. It's going to be
exactly the same. Worse, in fact, because you won't get two presents at Christmas.
No, you'll have to buy your own game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Mm. And it's... But over time, I think this will resolve. I think what's happening is the other social gaming platforms are sort of going to migrate away. I think I was speaking to Alex Rennie, who's not on the podcast today, but he sometimes is. He reckons OpenFaint's going to hang around, and I could see that. OpenFaint's very pervasive, but I think the others, I don't know. The most interesting thing to me is things like Gameloft Live, because it's a social network that only applies to Gameloft games. I already sort of didn't see what the advantage was in that to Gameloft. But it's, I think, even less so if one social platform becomes dominant. I wonder, you know, what's in it for Gameloft to have this kind of segregated little social platform that just only applies to their games. What do you reckon? Explain it to me.
Situation. Oh, well, I don't have the answer, Rob. I don't think even Gameloft do. They probably just think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, probably.
It's a mess. It's a mess. At the moment, we're in the frothing, primordial soup of an eventually evolved landscape. But Apple, oddly, are trailing quite far behind in terms of functionality and kind of coming to the party a little bit late. And I mean, you know, you could perhaps, they would probably say, well, we wanted to make sure we got it right. And the slightly haphazard way that it's launched doesn't really bear that out as an excuse. So it is, although it's a god-awful cliche, a case of we'll have to wait and see, won't we, how it goes. But moving on to another story, Apple have now also, talking about Apple functionality, they have backtracked on their previous quite vitriolic stance on Flash. Well, Jobs' vitriolic stance on Flash. And are now, although not specifically mentioning Flash, are now allowing a lot more third-party developer tools, because previously you had to use first-party in-house tools to create your games. The compromise they've reached is that you can use these tools, which obviously also includes Flash, but whisper it, they don't want you to say that. As long as you don't download anything, they are happy that that will kind of make it useful for the developers, but not, you know, give them their flexibility, but preserve the security that they're so obsessive about. And this is good news, surely. Will, what do you think? Rob, what do you think?
I think that So the main thing is going to be that it's going to be easier to port Flash games to iPhone. And it's going to be possible to use the Flash environment to develop, but it won't. You know, my eyebrows were momentarily raised when I heard the news, because I thought, oh, okay, so this means, does this mean, because I saw the word Flash, the keyword, and I thought, oh, wow, so we're going to be able to, you know, enjoy Flash content online, which is the big bugbear with the iPhone. An iPad, and that's not going to happen. We're not going to be able to play Flash games. It's just, I mean, this is just news for developers, really. So in terms of how it'll affect us, I don't really know. It'll make some things easier for them, for developers in some respects. But
I thought that Unity was already being used by some developers.
I think it is, actually, yeah. I think it does, yeah.
And I mean, Unreal Engine would be a middleware tool as well, wouldn't it? So,
indeed.
Not really that surprising to me. But they're relaxing a bit more.
Yeah, people are definitely going crazy for it. But they also, Apple also published its submission guidelines, didn't it? And that was quite
amazing. Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah, Apple. So the two big Apple things that happened were, and they're kind, they're a little bit over my head in a way, because they're sort of, you know, the developers are the beneficiaries of both of these bits of news. But one of them is, yeah, that it's opening up its development environment to third-party tools, but also that it's published its submission guidelines, which are actually quite funny. I'll read a couple out, shall I?
I'll read
out the ones that Stu Dredge, we were talking about Stu Dredge before, I'll read out some of the ones that he picked out. So in this list of App Store guidelines, Apple has written, we have over 250,000 apps in the App Store. We don't need any more fart apps. If your app doesn't do something useful or provide some form of lasting entertainment, it may not be accepted. Another one, we will reject apps for content or behavior that we believe is over the line. What line, you ask? Well, as a Supreme Court justice once said, I'll know it when I see it. And we think that you will also know it when you cross it. So quite personality. These guys.
Yeah, which is odd. You don't think of really Apple having a personality.
No, they got spunk.
clearly, but not in their apps anymore because they won't allow sexual content. You've got to wonder, though, how many fart apps got through before they decided that it was too many? I'm pretty sure that...
249,000.
Yeah, it's pretty close, isn't it? Yeah, you've got to wonder on their kind of self censorship there. They seem to take them a while to cotton on. But, hey, it's a big beast. Slow moving. It's got to be steered, helmed, whatever. So we've got some other little bits of news. We'll just run through them quickly, and then we'll go to the rumor mine. A dev team has confirmed yet again that it's jailbroken 4.1 for iPhone and iPod. I mean, this is quite a, you know, this happens every time. But it's interesting that they keep staying ahead of Apple security. So what else? We should mention, actually, there is a list of Game Center titles which is now live on iTunes. It's a story on Pocket Gamer if you want to have a look. And obviously that list is going to continue to expand.
I'll read them out.
So go for it.
Okay. Real Racing, Flight Control, Farmville, Zenbound, Field Runners, Pac-Man, Adrenaline Golf Online, Chromag Rally, Enigma 2, Megaplex Madness, Nanosaur 2, Touch Grind, Growl Online Classic, Wordsworth, Canon Challenge 2, Isaac Newton's Gravity, Kokoto Magic Circus, and Worldly Wings. So not a stellar lineup. A couple of really big games there, but not anything stellar. Worldly Wings, all right.
Farmville sounds a bit evil.
Yeah. We should, of course, in the interest of commercial fairness into broadcasting, say that their other social networks are available for all of these games. So, what else is happening? Capcom is bringing E Honda to Street Fighter 4, and Game Loft have shown off their original title, Modern Combat 2, Black Pegasus, which has nothing to do with Black Ops or Modern Warfare. Interpol Song Pack is now available on Guitar Hero for iPhone and iPod Touch. And the rather astonishing-looking pixel art adventure, Sword and Sorcery, is releasing within the next month or so. It says iPhone pixel art. I thought this was just for iPad. Is it now coming to iPhone as well?
No, it's iPhone.
That is brilliant news.
We saw it before the iPad was even out, so it must be iPhone.
Okay. Okay. I was misinformed. Probably by Pocket Gamer. I don't know.
Not Pocket Gamer. Pocket Gamer are straight up guys.
Here they've got a pretty good editor.
Yeah, Zhao.
Really? Oh yeah, no, Zhao is good.
Yeah. Oh, Zhao. Miss you, Zhao. He doesn't listen to this kind of thing anyway. Okay, so that's all the news. Fill your boots. We're going down to the rumor mine.
Boom, boom. Boom, ba, boom, boom.
Rimmer. Rimmer.
I've most recently been in contact with the Rimmer Miner. So shall I pass on his words of wisdom?
Yeah, let's discuss his words of wisdom.
But just quickly. I don't think the things he's been saying this week are particularly interesting. There's a companion app. There's a companion app.
You might listen to this, you know.
No, he can't.
He'll probably
get
offended.
No signal underground.
How long has he been trapped for, actually, out of interest?
He's been trapped just over a month, but he should be out by Christmas. What he's been saying is that there's possibly going to be a companion app for Final Fantasy XIV, or the forthcoming JRPG, which some people seem to like, but I think is insufferable.
Can I make a wild guess as to what it's going to consist of?
Yes.
Photos. And that's it. And a calendar. No, they had a calendar last time for Final Fantasy 13. Calendar photos.
Of crying teenage boys with geometric haircuts.
And that sort of gloomy looking lightning with a massive sword. She had a sword. Yeah.
These are all references I don't understand. All I know about Final Fantasy is it is a game that people play. And one of the games made my ex-girlfriend cry. That's all I know.
Eris!
Yeah, something like that. No, she was called Ruth. The
zing.
The rumor miner is saying that there's going to be the ability to log into your account. I guess that you'll have to, you know, related to the game, check your character, send messages to other players, play mini games, and so on. So yeah, it might
not
be
just
going to
be high res photos.
No, possibly not, or possibly. But anyway, let's move on.
Sounds almost as exciting as Game Center.
Yeah. EA Mobile is preparing SSX on iPhone for the holidays, he's saying. So that apparently was going to be coming out last year, and then it just sort of disappeared. EA decided not to proceed with it. But the rumor is that it's going to be coming out in time for this Christmas.
Just like the rumor miner.
I've never played a SSX game.
I have. I played the first one. It was good. It was really good, actually. But then it's one of those franchises that has progressively gone downhill. See what I've done there?
Over time.
In all seriousness, it's pretty shoddy these days. Although I speak from a bigoted and ignorant point of view because I haven't bothered playing any of them. But that Dark Summit, my goodness, it was embarrassing. I think the review I read, I think it got 3 in a very well-respected games magazine.
3, that's poor. That's a low score. SSX, well, I mean, it could work. There was a snowboarding game from Exient, I believe, that was very good on iPhone. So certainly that kind of game works.
I can see it working, for sure. With the tilt controls, it might actually be more fun than, you know, pressing 5 buttons to do a 1080 tail flip grab.
you have played them.
No, I played 1080 on the N64. That was my only snowboarding game.
Okay, sounds great. So we might be seeing that anyway by Christmas. That's what the rumor miner says, and he also says that Marvel vs. Capcom 3 Fate of Two Worlds is coming to iPhone and iPod Touch. He says this. How does he dare say this? Well, because Street Fighter 4 has come out on iPhone from Capcom, and that was well received and a good port, so there's no reason why Marvel vs. Capcom won't also come across. And it'll be better because we heard before that E-Honda is soon to be coming to Street Fighter 4 and iPhone, and over the weeks, 3 other characters have come to the iPhone. But when the game came out, there was quite a limited roster. But there's going to be more. There's more of them apparently. There's a chance that it'll be a more heavily populated game with characters from Marvel and Capcom IPs. So which ones are Marvel? Spider-Man? Yeah, there he is. He's in the picture.
Spider-Man, yeah.
Hulk, he's Marvel.
Well, I've never read a comic in my life. I know nothing of comics.
No, I'm not a big comic guy. I bought when I saw the Watchmen film, I bought the Watchmen comic and thought it was rubbish. I just thought it was like a stuck because it just really, because the film is so close to the comic of Watchmen, and people are going to disagree and say, "Oh, you're an idiot." It's a work of art, and I'm sure it is if you read it first. But if you see the film and then read it, it's like reading the storyboard from the film because it's so close. But then it's like the film, but without all the awesome sounds and moving pictures. Therefore,
you're
really going to annoy a lot of comic book readers.
Yeah,
the old graphic novel readers.
I just thought.
What happened to Stephen Poole when he attacked this particular graphic novel?
No,
he was almost hounded out of the internet. Though he's obviously too good to
bother. I stand by him. I stand by him. I would follow him in. I would follow him anywhere. Stephen Poole. I've read 2 of his books, and he's a hero of mine. A proper intellectual. So yeah, fuck you, internet.
Awesome writer.
That makes me hate Watchmen even more. Let's move on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there we go then. That's the rumors delivered to you in a compact and efficient way. I'm going to shake it up here. Let's mess about with the structure. And we will answer a reader's question. And by reader, I mean competitor. because the only question we got was from Andrew Williams, who is the mobile phones editor at Republic Publishing. He does not edit phones, according to his Twitter account. His question is, to the floor, if your iPhone or iPod Touch, for you, Will, because you don't have an iPhone, had a gender, what gender would that be? After you, Will.
After me?
Yeah.
I would probably go with a lady.
But what? Answer the question, though.
What? I've answered the gender.
Oh, sorry. I see. Right. Okay. Yeah. Carry on.
So you're just saying what you're going to do tonight.
Yeah.
And later on, I'll be
Game Center.
Yeah, I'll upload Game Center into a. That's just getting too dirty. I don't know why. I'd say so because it's got nice curves. It's lovely sort of curved device. Not like the iPhone 4, where it's like a brick. It's a lovely, sleek, thin supermodel, almost, and it feels comfortable to put in your pocket.
Okay, this is like blind date.
I don't know what the kind of the many feminist groups who listen to this podcast will think about that pocket reference, but
I don't even know where I was going with that.
Rob, what sex is your phone?
I would say, and it's difficult because it's a phone, but I suppose if I really think about it, if I really dig deep, it probably feels more like a man to me. Because it's hard, you know, and it's efficient, intelligent, methodical, you know, it's reliable, so for all those reasons.
Actually, you know what I'm thinking, going from that logic, I think my iPod Touch should definitely be a male because it can't multitask. See,
nice.
<back.
laughs> Although, I dispute that, because if you were to take Susie and I as the case study, Susie can't multitask, and I can multitask pretty well. It's like my life is multitasking. You know, I'm sitting there looking at all these different tabs, dealing with all these bits of information. Susie, you say to her, Susie's my wife, by the way, if you're wondering, not my sister or something like that. That would be weird.
Or your iPhone.
Or my iPhone. if she's doing something, or if she's speaking to you and, you know, answering a question, but then something else happens, like she gets distracted by something on TV, then it's amazing. She just goes, it's like the film Awakenings. She just switches off and just stares. And then you have to go concentrate. Or if she's trying to explain something to you, but she gets distracted by just a different strand that, you know, occurs to her while she's talking, then she just vanishes. And you have to kind of click your fingers and go, come on, come back. What were you saying? So I think women can't multitask. I don't know where that comes from. And I'll tell you what else annoys me. When people say women are better at tolerating pain. How do you measure what? That?
Why don't you and Susie punch each other and see who quits first?
Well, you know.
Just on the arm. I don't mean, you know, like actual.
Not in the face.
Door breaking. No, not the face.
No, not somewhere
not,
where.
Not your beautiful face, Rob.
Exactly. Yeah. So I dispute. A, that women are better at multitasking, and B, that women are better at tolerating pain, because there's no way of measuring that. And through anecdotal experience throughout my life, you know, I cut myself on the finger, I just kind of shrug. My sisters cut themselves on the finger. Well, you know, I think you can imagine the scene.
Would you shrug if you had to pass a baby through your... Actually, no. I'm going to talk about my iPhone. I also think male... and the reason I'm going to give is because my fiance and I live in a very lovely flat in Bristol. But she likes to make everything look pretty, and I like things to be logical. So I've ordered my CDs alphabetically and chronologically within, you know, the bands. But she is in charge of the books. And instead of ordering those alphabetically so I can find my books, they're ordered in spectrums of color, which looks awesome, but it's absolutely impossible to find books.
It doesn't make sense. Oh, I fancy reading a yellow book today.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
exactly.
Like when you first start learning how to read.
Yes, yeah, Roger Red Hat. Exactly. So You know, it'd look brilliant if we had, I don't know, El Home round to photograph our place, but which they never will. But if, you know, if we need to read one of them, it makes the task a little more irritating. And on my phone, I've got all my apps organized by genre in quite a geeky, you know, obsessive male way. So they're all in their folders. And, you know, I could have maybe categorized them into folders based on the mood that the game would bring out in me if I played it. You know, like I could have angry games or relaxed games. But no, I went with genre, hard and fast.
Good.
They're not alphabetical because the whole folder thing is a bit shit, really. But that's another story for another time. So there you go. That's three blokes in our pockets. That's the answer everyone was hoping for, I'm sure.
There you go, Andrew. I wonder if you agree.
And thank you for your question. Please do get back in touch. Let us know.
Yeah.
Satisfied with our response.
Do a better question next week, Andrew. Okay, next.
So let's talk about what we've been playing and not fiddling within our pockets.
What we've been playing!
So I have let everyone else go first. I'm going to talk first this time. So this week, and I'm glad you're here, actually, Rob. This is a good one for you, especially as you broke that Grim Fandango rumor a couple of weeks ago that I was very excited about. You see, because okay. I do listen to the podcast you host. I know that you don't bother to listen to mine, but I'm just saying. What I've been playing is Hector, Badge of Carnage, Episode 1, which is a point-and-click adventure, an original point-and-click adventure for the iPhone by Strand Looper. And although I haven't yet finished it, I've only been playing it for 3 days sporadically. I'm so far very, very impressed from the screenshots. And it's a bit of a cliche that, you know, screenshots don't do it justice. But in this case, they really don't. It kind of looks like a kind of Penny Arcade style, almost, that kind of drawing. And you can't imagine that it would be particularly well animated. But it actually looks fantastic when it's moving. The sound is brilliant. There's a really good atmosphere. The voice acting is brilliant. And it's genuinely funny in a very childish, immature way, but it is genuinely clever with some of its stuff. It casts you as, like, whereas Monkey Island cast you as kind of a well-meaning but hopeless hero of sorts, and say Full Throttle cast you as a well-meaning and capable hero, this casts you as a not particularly well-meaning overweight slob who's pretty much unlikable. And it's a stroke of genius. So you're kind of a police officer in the mold of the 70s, you know, bad cop, but without a good cop to offset him. And you care more about yourself drinking and sleeping with as many people as you can in your cell, which is your office, more than you do about solving things. And the game is structured around, there's a hostage situation in the middle of this town, and the hostage taker's very erudite, well-spoken guy who's really annoyed at Clapper's Reek, which is the town you live in, how it's gone to the dogs. And his demands are that he wants to make the town better. So he gives you these three tasks. You know, it's the classic three trials structure of Monkey Island to go and sort out, like fixing the clock tower and a couple of other things. And that's as far as I've got so far. The controls work brilliantly. You know, it's just a double tap to move in a or interact with something, or just tap on it to look at it. It's very easy to combine things. The puzzles are quite well thought out and also surreally funny. It starts off quite logical, but then the solution to get out of the first area is bizarre and hilarious. Obviously, I can't discuss it. I don't want to ruin it for you. But yeah, this is only episode one, so I don't think it's going to be very long, and obviously it does mean that you'll have to pay for various installments of it. But if you are into point-and-click adventures, as I know, Rob, you are, I certainly am, get it. Just get it now. In fact, don't even bother finishing the podcast if you're recording a podcast out there. Just download it and go and play.
Looks good. I see the subtitle is We Negotiate with Terrorists, which goes to that sort of sense of humour you were talking about before. It is genuinely quite funny and slightly daring.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that sounds good. How much was it?
I'm not sure. If you talk about what you've been playing and I'll have a look, I'll find the price.
Okay, shall I go now?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, I've been playing two games, but one of them's a kind of ongoing game. The way it works with me with the iPhone gaming is I'll tend to find one sort of casual game which I'll play to the exclusion of almost everything else for about 6 months and then move on to something else. At the moment, it is Flick Kick Football, and I hope you've both bought this game and have been playing it because it's completely brilliant. Flick Kick Football, it's kind of an obsession, and I think I finally beat Rennie at it because we've got a bit of a tussle going, and I scored 151 goals and overtook him, and using my iPhone 4 I was able to just take a screen grab, send it via email, and you know, in a kind of gloating way, all without, you know, all before breakfast. I love this age we live in. The other game I've been playing is, I'm supposed to be reviewing it. I hope I'll get time. It's called Puzzle Agent. It's by Telltale.
Ah, yeah.
Came out on other platforms first, PC and Mac. And belatedly came out on iPhone just the other day and iPad. And so it's a Telltale game, and Telltale are a studio that specialise in making point-and-click adventure games, and famously they've taken over the Monkey Island franchise, which is a real sort of poison chalice, I think, because the Monkey Island games are pretty much the best adventure games. I mean, you could say, well, maybe Broken Sword, maybe Grim Fandango, but Monkey Island 1 and 2 for a lot of people would be the best ever point-and-click adventure games, bar none. So Telltale Games have taken over that, and they've disappointed a little bit, I think, and Sam and Max as well, same sort of deal. And Wallace and Gromit, which is also available on Xbox Live, they have that franchise, also point-and-click, also a little bit disappointing. I actually reviewed the Wallace and Gromit game on iPad, and I think I gave it a 6. It wasn't very good. So here we are with Puzzle Agent, which is a completely new IP developed by them. And you play an agent for the FBI who works in the puzzle division, and you have to go to a place called Scoggins, which is this kind of perma-frozen small town in America where there's been an explosion at an eraser factory. And this town has inhabitants that are all obsessed with puzzles for some reason. And you go around, and it's a bit like Professor Layton, I think, in that, which I haven't played, so I hope this comparison is apt. It's like Professor Layton in that you just there's the story, and then there are the puzzles. So whereas in a game like Monkey Island, the puzzles are integrated within the story, in this game, in Puzzle Agent, there's a bit of a plot. You go along, you watch some people talking, and then someone says, hey, can you help me solve this puzzle? And you go, okay. And it's literally like a puzzle from a puzzle book or an IQ test or something. And you do it. And then you go, there you go. Because of that, it's obviously a very tortured premise. Because, you know, for example, the puzzle in Monkey Island, and spoiler alert, you go down to the bar, you put a banana on the metronome, the monkey is hypnotized. You pick up the monkey, you use him to, you know, you go about your business, but you've got a monkey in your inventory that's paralyzed. Eventually you find a bolt that needs to be undone, so you use the monkey, which is ha 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 a monkey wrench, one of the weaker puzzles in Monkey Island 2, but it came to me, to loosen the bolt. So the puzzles there are integrated within the narrative. In Puzzle Agent, they're not. It's a very tortured way of having this kind of game. And so to accommodate that, it's very postmodern, because, you know, they're sort of, the developers are acknowledging that it's ridiculous that somebody would just say, can you help me solve this puzzle? Can you help me line up all my insects? Can you help me draw lines around the insects on this plate? Can you help me arrange my food on this plate just so that none of it overlaps? You know, to acknowledge that is ridiculous, they've made it kind of postmodern, so the characters themselves are aware of how silly it is, and the whole thing's kind of done in this like crayon drawn style, and it goes beyond sketched or cartoony. It's crayon drawn almost in an obnoxious way, because there's no animation. No animation. Yeah, I put the stress in the wrong place there. There's virtually no animation. So, you know, just if someone's lifting his arm, it'll just be his arm is down, his arm is up. So it's all quite jerky. And it looks, I mean, on the iPhone, there's a particular problem where it looks really blurry. But this is just a bug, and I think it's going to get fixed in due course. But even without that, I just don't like the way it looks, really, because it's too... They've tried to make it kind of really simple, crayon-drawn, almost as if it's been sketched on a bit of paper by you know, someone while having a conversation on the phone. And it's got these kind of clunky puzzles that sort of interrupt the narrative. You go up to someone, and they say, hello, yeah, I need you to, you know, fix this pipe for me. And then, do-do-do, puzzle time. And it's just like in an IQ test, and it's kind of boring. And I kind of hate it, really. There's something about it. It's just something that doesn't quite click with me, because I'm in favor of it's a, what it is. It's a postmodern deconstruction of adventure games. So in the same way that Heston Blumenthal or someone like that will give you a deconstructed shepherd's pie, and all of the different parts of the shepherd's pie will be on the plate separately, and you go, oh, how clever, he's deconstructed the shepherd's pie. This is that kind of thing, you know, that they've deconstructed the look of the characters right down so that there are as little kind of marks on the screen as you need to be able to identify them as people almost. And it's deconstructed the way the puzzles work in the sense that it's, you know, they haven't tried to integrate anything or make anything clever. It seems like it's a very lazy way of making a game, and they've tried to mask it by making it seem postmodern and really clever. And when Heston Blumenthal does it, you kind of go, oh, nice, I like the way he's done this. This is really clever. Because he probably put more work into his deconstruction of a shepherd's pie than one would into a shepherd's pie. But this feels like they didn't have the time or the energy to create a proper puzzle game. So they just said, oh, right, okay, well, let's just get a load of puzzles out of puzzle books. Okay. Make them and then just string them together with this narrative, and to make it work will make the narrative really quirky and self-aware, and it, to me it just doesn't work, because it just doesn't hang together. It's not charming enough. It tries to be charming, it just doesn't quite make it. I'm sort of against it. I think I'm probably going to give it like a 6. I don't think it's a terrible game, but that's what I think of Puzzle Agent anyway. But even the fact that I'm talking about it in these terms, comparing it to Heston Blumenthal stuff, shows that it at least is engaging with the idea of being an interesting game. But I just think it's doing so in order to conceal failings. There you go.
You know what I'd recommend instead?
What?
Hector, Badge of Carnage.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was just thinking
about that. Because it does all of those, it does all the deconstruction, and it plays with the fourth wall, and it's completely aware of itself, and it makes lots of really funny jokes based on the kind of rules and traditions of point-and-click gaming. And it's well animated and not rubbish, and not from a studio that routinely saps the soul out of classic beloved franchises.
Telltale. Why did they do it? And now they've got hold of Back to the Future and Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park, a subject very close to my heart. Dinosaurs.
You know, in Dark Crystal, I don't know if you've ever seen Dark Crystal, if anyone has, the amazing Jim Henson animation. They have these little, the Skeksis are these horrible, gnarled, bird-like creatures, which represent the bad part of a whole being. And they suck the essence out of these tiny little kind of moly-voly type things through their eyes. And I see Telltale very much as the Skeksis of the developer world.
But they seem able to obtain very high profile and respected licenses, and then they go about their business sort of slightly mildly destroying them. They're not terrible. I don't think the games they make are terrible.
No.
But they're just not.
Certainly not.
They're just not quite there. But of the Telltale games I've played, Puzzle Agent is the most objectionable. Personally, I wouldn't really recommend it, but you know, someone else might enjoy it. So
there you go.
God, isn't this a wanky one? This is what happens when you and I are on a podcast together. Will, bring the tone down to an appropriate level.
Well, I've played two games which... Well, I played two games today, which no one else has played yet. So...
Core!
Blimey!
Yeah.
Tell us about them then.
All right. First one was FIFA 11, which is apparently a an association football game. I haven't really heard of it before. It's quite a minor.
Is that like
minor
a word
franchise.
Association game?
Oh, football is that soccer?
Yeah,
soccer. Okay.
Yeah, it's soccer. It's soccer. It's the one with the nets and offside and field goals.
Hockey. It's called hockey.
Yeah, it's similar to hockey, but I think it's a newer game than hockey.
NFL World Hockey Snooker Championship.
Is that that thing like Victoria Beckham's husband plays? I think it rings a bell.
She plays
it. You mean the field? He plays the field, doesn't he?
Field ball.
Field ball. Anyway, FIFA 11, that's going to so annoy people to hear about it. I had a little go on a pre-release build, quite an early build actually, because the animations during the cutscenes were quite slow-mo. But they were very detailed. I was using it on an iPhone 4. And they've really upped the presentation. I mean, it looked good before, but the animations and the graphics on this new one is very good. They're going on about 360-degree movement, which is borrowed from one of the console versions. I don't think it's the latest one that did that. Anyway, and they've the controls are sort of combination between gesture and virtual pad. You can put your thumb anywhere on the screen, on the left-hand side of the screen, and you'll get your virtual joystick. Double tapping it, or tapping it in a direction, will do a skill. And if you hold down a button, it changes to say a lobbed through ball or a lobbed pass, etc. Looked good. Obviously, it was quite an early build, but it's looking quite interesting. And the fact you can now tap to select your player, or you can drag the player forwards to make him do a forward run, so you can actually do a sort of, or it's almost like Pro Evo on the Wii in a way that you can plan your moves from your midfield, so you can tear apart the defense using clever brain power and visual skills. So it's got a lot of potential to be a good challenger to X2 and Pro Evo on the iPhone. So it's one to watch for the future, definitely.
Did you score any goals in your time with it?
Yeah, I scored a goal. It wasn't a very good looking goal. I was playing Arsenal versus Tottenham because that's the default derby pair, and I scored with Theo, who then ran off in slow-mo, but very attractive slow-mo.
Good.
It looks good. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think it's released around the same time as the console version, but I'll need to get confirmation on that. The other one I was playing was MMA, mixed martial arts, not to be confused with UFC, which is the same thing really, but different. MMA, it's an interesting one. They haven't taken the traditional beat 'em up direction with this. They haven't gone for a virtual pad. Instead, there's four quadrants on the screen. Each of the top two correspond to your left and right hand, the bottom two, left and right foot, leg. And you can sweep across or sweep up to do an uppercut, and sweep your two thumbs together to clinch the person, and then it gets a bit homoerotic, and then you can start elbowing them in the head and everything.
That
it looks
pretty
really
homoerotic.
Good. Yeah.
Is that what do you understand about homoerotic?
Well, yeah, it gets more homoerotic because you sweep down and you grab. Well, no. What happens is that once you sweep down, you then start grappling with the person on the mat.
Before elbowing them in the head.
Sweat. Well, you don't have to elbow them in the head. You can just gaze longingly into their eyes by not pressing a button. Anyway, it's quite good. It's got blood effects as well. If you're feeling particularly vicious, if you beat someone up quite a lot, there'll be blood on their mouth, face. It's certainly not homoerotic. It's a violent fighting game. It's got a career mode, which looked quite good, where you it does. I don't know if anyone's played Rocky on their home consoles, like the original Xbox when it came out. But on that game, you had like training mini games to improve your stats, and it's got that sort of thing here. So it's got lots of quick time events for like punching a big heavy punching bag or punching a slightly smaller one, which goes. You can tell I train.
That's a good sound effect.
Yeah, and it's got a stamina, so you can't just go out all out of time. It looked good, and yeah, I'm quite intrigued. It's quite an interesting departure from the normal control scheme. I expect some people are gonna. I mean, what I saw of it looked to be playing quite well. Looked quite accurate. I'm not sure about the tactics, how easy or hard it is, because I only really got one proper fight after the tutorials, but. Yeah, no, I was quite impressed by it. Thought it looked quite good, so it's definitely one to look out for.
Right.
I don't think of you as a sports person, Will, like a sports games person. You're more of a scholar.
Well, I've got FIFA World Cup sitting over there, and lots of other sports games. no, I'm not into it as much as Richard is. He's far more into it. I've got lots of names written down here for MMA. Yeah, Richard Brown. I've got names like Big John McCarthy, who's the referee. Apparently they've licensed him. And someone called some Shamrock Brothers or something like that. And I have no idea who they are. But Richard would probably be gnashing his teeth as he hears me say those names in such a blasé way.
Richard Brown is one of these people.
Scottish, right?
He's a football fan. But he's one of these people who just likes. He's just a general sports fan, and he's one of these people whose knowledge of all sports is entirely encyclopedic. Like he knows everything about every sport, and that includes every person who's ever played in every sporting competition for the last 50 years. It's weird, and whenever I meet people like that, I just think, if only you could use that brain power for something that wasn't a complete waste of time.
But, the problem is, though, I'm pretty sure that people that meet us think, like, if only you could use that gaming knowledge and all that brain power wasted on memorizing ridiculously trivial bits of gaming information, if only you could use that to do something more productive in life.
I hate being with my in-laws because I like them, don't get me wrong, if you're listening, which you're definitely 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 not, but if you were, don't get me wrong. I like them both, but you know, with my wife's kind of extended family, there's never been a conversation that I can you know, be in control of. Or you know, if what you're into is the kind of things that I'm into, games, films, and so on, it's just you never get in. It's just the conversation is never about that. Sad. Maybe I should divorce Susie.
I feel guilty talking to people about games that I know aren't avid gamers. That they'll ask me, you know, what I've done today. I'll maybe tell them who I've interviewed or something. And then you kind of see the glazing, the polite glazing that they try and hide. But you just, then you think, oh, God, right, move on, something else. But I'm, you know, amazingly charming, so I find another subject. And we quickly get on like a house on fire.
Right. I just stick it out. I just keep trying. Keep trying until they fall over backwards. Sheer boredom.
Okay, we have done everything that we need to do. And apart from one thing, if you remember, I spoke about a game called Hector earlier. The price of that episode one is $2.39. So there you go. Go and splurge your money. I didn't have to pay. Apple paid for it for me. But I think it's worth it nonetheless. And with that, we come clattering to a fairly shambolic halt. I will say goodbye, and I will see you in 7 days' time, and my heart pines for you every minute of that wait. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.